Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for gathering us together. Father, I ask that as we continue on, Lord, that you would, Lord, make us sensitive to the great privilege that we have, Lord, to be partakers of the divine nature. Father, to have been given unto us, granted unto us, these great promises, Lord, that by these great and precious promises, Lord, that we might become partakers of the divine nature. Lord, that we could appreciate and be sensitive to the wonder that God could live even in us, Lord, that God would dwell in us, that His nature is within us. Lord, that we have been born again, Lord, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, Father. We just, Lord, that we would be sensitive to the great cost to make this true in our lives, Lord, that we are the most privileged people who have ever been born on this earth, that we can fellowship with you, that you've opened up to us the mysteries of the Godhead, that you've opened up to us the value of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God shed, that, Lord, you just make me sensitive to this, Lord, to appreciate it, Lord, the wonder of it, Lord. Who are we, Lord, that we should know the value of the redeeming, the ransoming power of the blood of Christ? Father, we just thank you this morning and, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you, Lord. This is all that life is about, is to worship you. Father, we thank you and we praise you then. We just ask that you continue to speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have time this morning, or I would ask if anyone found some nuggets in 2 Peter, the first 11 verses, because I know you know where we're going in the Scripture, so it gives you an opportunity to read them throughout the week, and maybe God's spoken something to you as you've looked at those Scriptures throughout the week. That's one of the advantages of doing a kind of a systematic, is you know where we're going, so you can get ahead of me if you want to, and you can look and see what God says to you during the week. And so I was going to ask if anyone had something that God had spoken to them through this week. But we're not going to do that this morning. Maybe one of the other Sundays I will. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to get really familiar with these 11 verses. It will take us a few more weeks to get out of them. Let's read them. Verse 1 through verse 11. If you need a Bible, please try to find one, because we're going to be, even in our short time, we're going to be going through a number of scriptures. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us succeeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these be in you and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and he has also forgotten that he was purged from his own old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think, again, you get the gist. And the more times you read this, I don't know how many times I've read it, but every time I read it, it becomes richer and fuller to me. It's tremendous scriptures in there, as in all the Bible. We've asked the question, who wrote the book. We have those five questions that, and it kind of helps us cut the pie up because it's really a big piece of pie. But if we can cut it up into pieces, you know, we have a better chance of picking it up and eating it. So we've cut it into five pieces. Who wrote the book? To who did he write the book? And it was Simon Peter who wrote it, of course, the apostle, the servant. He wrote it to those who had obtained by lot a similar, a like, precious faith as Peter also had received. He's not above them. He didn't have a faith different. It's a faith that is anchored to the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. It's anchored to him. It's in that righteousness of Jesus Christ, not in a righteousness of his own works or of his calling or of his position in the church. It wasn't any of that. It was through the righteousness of Jesus, Savior. And to those also who had received initially grace and peace, but that grace and peace must be multiplied because we need grace because we're going on with Christ. Am I going on with Christ? This is our business with every breath we take. This is it. And we've got to get this sunk into our minds. I've got to get this into my brain that I am here to be conformed to the image of his son. It is my number one business. It is our calling. It is our election, as it were, to be conformed to that image. This is what we are all about. And if I only think of it on Sunday morning or maybe a Wednesday night or maybe if there's something wrong, this is our focus. God has not wasted his time. He has not wasted the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He has not wasted redemption. He hasn't wasted the horrors of Gethsemane and Golgotha. He hasn't wasted them. He has imparted to us. He has given to us. He has granted to us, the word is, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that by these we may escape the corruptions that are in this world through the lust of our own hearts. This is our calling. This is our business. This is what Peter is saying about it. Get on with it, is what Peter is saying in these verses. And so that is who it's from, Peter, who it's to, those who have been, have a like faith, that have been given grace and peace, and it needs to be multiplied to us every day because we're going through things. We had prayer requests this morning. Those, we need grace and we need peace. The enemy comes against us. Evil thoughts come to us. Lusts rise up within us. Envies creep into our hearts. Prejudices creep into our minds. Pride comes sneaking in unawares. We need grace and we need peace to go on. And the verse that I'm landing on today is our third question. It is, what has Peter called them to do? Okay, what are they to do? Who wrote it? Who did he write it to, and what is he telling them to do? The third issue, what is he telling them to do? And again, it's the Spirit of God, and this is what he's telling them to do. We're jumping down to verse 10, okay? Basically this phrase, and this is perhaps the central theme of Peter's epistle, make your calling and your election sure. Nail it down. There's no drifting. You nail this down. And it's sandwiched between two phrases. In verse 5, he said, and besides this, give all diligence. Give all diligence. Don't give some of your diligence, okay? Don't give it just a Sunday morning diligence. Give all diligence, okay? That's a bookend. The other bookend, then, is verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Those are sandwiched between them. We're picking this up where it says, we're going to go through verse 10 a little bit. Wherefore, the rather, and the word means more, and it's connected to give diligence. Now give even more diligence, okay? And he calls us brethren. It's the only time Peter ever used the word, is this one time. He's encouraging us. He's imploring. He's pleading. He's pushing. He's exhorting. Brethren. Brethren, because of these things, because of all that I've said prior to this by the Spirit, because of this, give more diligence. Am I diligent? Am I controlling the thoughts of my mind? Am I casting down every imagination that exalts itself against Christ? Am I disciplining my spirit? Is sin ever okay? Sin is not good, you know. And this is, I'm painting with a real wide brush here, but we've got to get to this All these things are sin. And sin is never good. Never play with sin. Okay, not even one sin. Never play with it. So giving more diligence. Let me read something from this book. It's called Flowers from a Puritan's Garden. And it's thoughts from Psalm 119. Spurgeon picks up little thoughts. And this is the first one. It's actually taken from another writer. His name is Thomas Manton, who lived in the 1650s. And he wrote volumes of things. And Spurgeon, his work on Psalm 119 is three volumes, each of them about 700 pages long. Three of those on Psalm 119. Spurgeon read it, and he took from it these thoughts. And then he preaches on some of Manton's comments. So this is Manton's comments. And again, we're talking about sin. And the title of it is A Bird Tied by a String. And he's taking it from one of the verses from Psalm 119. A bird that is tied by a string seems to have more liberty than a bird who is imprisoned in a cage. It flutters up and down, back and forth, and yet it is held fast. When a man thinks he has escaped from the bondage of sin in general, and yet evidently remains under the power of some one favored lust, he is woefully mistaken in his judgment and to his spiritual freedom. He may boast that he is out of the cage, but assuredly the string is fastened upon his leg. He who has his fetters knocked off, all of them but one, is still a prisoner. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. It is a good and wise prayer. For one pampered sin will slay the soul as surely as one dose of poison will kill the body. There is no need for a traveler to be bitten by a score of deadly vipers. The tooth of one cobra is quite sufficient to ensure his destruction. One sin, like one match, can kindle the fires of hell within your soul. The practical application of this truth should be made by the professor who is a slave to drink, or to covetousness, or to lust, or to passion. How can you be free if any one of these chains still holds you fast? You have met with professors who are haughty, and they despise others. How can these be the Lord's free men while pride remains and surrounds them? In will and intent, we must break every bond of sin, and we must perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, or we cannot hope that the Son hath made us free. O thou who art the free spirit, break every bond of sin, I beseech thee. That's the opening of the book, the first thing. But that's what it is. You know, even a bird with a string is so free, but it's such a great picture, isn't it? Compared to a bird in a cage that's trapped. But if you got one string, one sin that you're in bondage to, that you are a slave to this sin, you are still not free. And that's what he's saying. And so Peter is saying, wherefore, give more diligence, brethren. Give more diligence, brethren. Now, again, see, this is serious, serious work in our lives. It means a 24/7 watch on our hearts and what we do with our lives, with what we see and what we hear and what we say and what we think and what our hands feel and where our feet take us. It is our business here on earth. Give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Now, we understand those words, calling and election. Some like it, some don't like it, but that's what it's in the Bible, and a calling means a calling. I mean, you don't need a Greek dictionary to tell you what a calling means. It's a compound word, but calling and election. Again, I don't have the time. We can go to other verses. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1. Read verses 4, 5, 6. You can go to 1 Thessalonians, read verse 4. You can go to 2 Timothy, reading verse 9. You can go, there's different places to go, and I don't understand it. So he says that, but he said, you can't sit back on your laurels. You cannot drift into heaven if you are not a warrior against yourself and the lusts of your flesh. You will not make your calling and your election sure, and who knows what may happen. One sin can pollute a soul and lead it into hell. So the scriptures never make it okay to drift. And those who have believed, and I know nobody here does, and this is great, but those who have believed that once they're saved, they're always saved, that they can just live like they want to, it is a lie from the pit of hell. We must be about our Father's business. We must. You know, the temple in Jerusalem was built upon a hill, wasn't it? And does anyone remember what that hill was before the temple was built upon it? Does anyone remember what it is? What it was, where it was built. What? It was a threshing floor where there is work to be done. God is working on his crop. God is working on his field. God is working on his produce. God is working on the fruitfulness of his field, and he builds his house upon that. Our lives are a house of work. God is working with us, and we're to be working. It was built on a threshing floor. God's church is a place where the work of God is being done. And you and I are to give all diligence and to even give more diligence to make our calling and our election sure. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the proof of your salvation isn't your testimony. It's how you live today, not how you lived last year or 10 years ago. The proof that you are born again is that you are living biblical evidence of a Christian life today, and you're pressing on. And if you are not, you have no assurance of your salvation. That's what this verse is telling us. It's not a way to win your salvation. It's a way to show out your salvation. And unless I'm going on with them in great passion, this way, giving all diligence, he said, you have no assurance of your salvation. You're playing games with your eternal state. He said, you're blindsided. You're short-sighted. You do not see afar off. You are blind. This is Peter, and he ought to know, shouldn't he? He ought to know these things. Okay? Now we're going to look at some scriptures and wind up. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're just going to follow this theme. We're going to jump to maybe about 5-6 verses. And we're going to see that Paul says the same thing. And the Apostle John says the same thing as what I've just said. And what Peter is saying to us. In chapter 13 and verse 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. See, don't prove somebody else. Don't worry about the guy next to you. You can't save him. You can't change him. You can pray for them. You can live a godly life and trustingly that your godly life rubs off and encourages someone else to live a godly life. But don't sit in judgment over your brother or your sister because they're not as perfect as you think they should be or as I think they should be. That's so easy to do. Worldlings can do that. You know, we're not to be doing those things. You know, so don't worry about the other, but check yourself. That's what he says. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Christ be in you, except you be reprobates or disapproved or disqualified. He said, you've got to prove that you're not going to be disqualified. See, there's no rest in this in one sense, and yet there is a rest. Our salvation is sure. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. He said, I have fought the fight. I have run the race. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that I will receive. Paul, there's a knowing of it, but as you notice, he's running the race. He's fighting the fight. He isn't sleeping. He isn't pampering his flesh. Paul gave all diligence. Okay. Turn now, so that's what Paul says. Turn into 1 John. This is a familiar scripture, but this will put a new hue on this verse. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 3. And every man, every woman that has this hope in him, what does he do? He purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. If you have the hope, there's one evidence of it. You're purifying yourself by the grace of God, even as Jesus is pure. If I'm sitting on my laurels and I'm just living a selfish life and I'm just indulging in one sin or 1,000 sins and I'm just self-centered and I'm judgmental and I'm just, you know, reveling in my self-centeredness, I have no proof. You have no proof that I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter what I did 10 years ago. Or what my testimony I might have. He who has this hope, if you have this hope, purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. Are you purifying yourself? Because if you don't, see, these are strong words, you know, but the Spirit, he's playing with eternal things. There's no going back. When our life is gone, there's no going back. And people will say, well, the thief, he was saved in the last minute. Yeah, but you can't count on that. That's one instance. There's thousands of instances of those who died and didn't make it. You know, there's also an instance of a donkey speaking. So does that mean that all donkeys speak? No, it happened once, but I wouldn't count on it. A thief got saved at the last minute, but I wouldn't count on it. You know? Okay. So he who hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Now turn to Romans, another familiar verse for us. Romans 8. But again, it'll have a different hue than maybe we've seen it before. Romans chapter 8 in verse 1. Okay? Romans chapter 8 in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Isn't that wonderful? But to who? To them that are in Christ Jesus. Who are those? It's those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? You can't live in the flesh and be self-centered. I can't live that way and say there's no condemnation to me. I'm in Christ Jesus. No. The proof of the fact that there's no condemnation to me and that I am in Christ Jesus is that I'm walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. See, and I've read this 100 times and haven't seen that before. These things are a challenge to us, but they're real. They're to our encouragement. Let God's Spirit search us and shake us up about our, am I right with God? Am I right with my brothers? Am I hating sin in my life? It doesn't mean I don't fail once in a while, but it shouldn't be the pattern of my life that there's failure there, that there's a sin that's always pulling. That shouldn't be it. The Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead, he works in us mightily to set us free from all sin. This is God's will for our life, even our sanctification. Okay? Okay, look at another one in Ephesians chapter 4. We're jumping in, kind of in the middle of something here. Verse 17, I guess we'll start, we'll back up a bit, but verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth don't walk as other unbelievers or as unbelievers walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, see, you know, past feeling, that when I think of Christ dying for me, am I past feeling? Does it pulse in my heart? Does something ooze in my heart towards this sacrifice, this crucified Savior? When I think that his righteousness is mine and my sin became his, does that move me at all? Do I care? Or am I past feeling? You know, if God dwells in me, these things are passionate for us. These things mean something to us. You know, and we become so hardened in our Christian life. We become so hardened to take things for granted. Wow, it's by grace that we stand. And at any moment, we could fall, but by the grace of God. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all cleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's the phrase. See, but that's not how you learn Christ. If you're doing this, you know, if you're walking this way, then you're not learning Christ. Because that's not how you learn Christ. That's not how Christ teaches. So if your life resembles something like this, you're not following Jesus. You know, that's what he's saying. That's what it's saying. Turn to the Gospel of John, verse 5. Or chapter 5. And here we have the story of a man that was healed. And then verse 14, we'll just drop to verse 14. Okay. And afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple, and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Don't sin anymore, because if you do, doesn't matter who you are, who I am, if I continue in sin, something worse shall come upon me. Lest something worse come upon you. Something worse can come upon us. It is a warning by the Son of God. God Himself gives us this warning. Let's go back to 2 Peter. This word where it says to give more, or wherefore the rather, I don't know what other versions have, it really means to give more. This is the definition. To give more diligence, literally to become more diligent. So become more diligent, to do your best, to bend every effort. Okay, to bend every effort, to make your calling and your election sure. And sure means that, just it means to nail it down. I mean, just nail it down. There's other words I could bring in there, but and how do we do it again? By grace and by peace, Peter said. You know, these are the ones. Grace and peace needs to be multiplied unto you and unto me through the knowledge of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got to nail this thing down. I've got to give diligence, give all diligence, and then give more diligence to do that. And so that's Peter's message. This is what he's writing to him, why he's writing to them. And then the other two things is, okay, now how do we do that? And why should we do that? That's the last two questions, which will take us a couple weeks to get through. But man, the scriptures are loaded up for us, but there is a challenge there. And not to be introspective, like, you know, oh, how am I doing today? You know, how many hours did I spend today? You know, our lives get busy and we're doing our work like we're supposed to, and 4 hours might pass and it's like you haven't even thought of the Lord. Well, that's kind of normal. Don't beat yourself up over those things. But where is your heart? Where is my heart? Does God have my heart? Proverbs says, my son, give me your heart. Where is my heart? And then go about your daily chores. Just do the next thing, the right thing. Do the natural thing. But has God got our hearts? You know, am I giving diligence to Him? Am I being conformed to His image? And all, you know, these verses that I've brought out to look at. So, tremendous challenges for us as a church. And it's to be a joy. You know, there is the warnings. There is the godly fear. Those are good things. But if I shouldn't be living just in the realm of those, because I should be acting and moving to where those things are taking me so that I have the joy of the Lord. And there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking according to the Spirit. No condemnation. I shouldn't be under condemnation. You shouldn't be under condemnation, because we should be walking in the Spirit. And so the Christian life is a joy. You know, the joy of His salvation. It's being right with Jesus. In His presence is the fullness of joy. And all these things take us, of course, to Christ. They all take us to Christ. And I'm just a beginner. You know, we're all just beginners. None of us have got this thing perfected. And we're all learning, and we're all going on and encouraging one another to go on with Christ. We all need each other's help. We shouldn't be so proud that we don't dare ask for help. We should just, you know, we should be loving one another. We're in this together, you know. And we are. You know, in the song we sang, in the last song we sang, it, that's kind of what it was about. We're a corporate body, and each one of us supplies something to the other. So let's, you know, just look to the Lord and you know, examine ourselves, you know. How am I? Am I clear with my brother? Am I clear with my sister? Is there a sin that I'm harboring and I just kind of don't really want to let it go? Is there, you know, am I proudful? Pride, you know, typically pride is pretty tough to see. That's a hard one, you know. It's pretty easy to see if I'm a thief. I can kind of figure that one out. But pride is a hard one sometimes to spot in our lives. Or, you know, is there a sin that I'm just not putting to death? You know, and Jesus said, if something offends you, causes you to sin, then you cut it off. It doesn't matter if it's your right arm, cut it off. If it's your right eye, you pluck it out. It's pretty serious, because it's better to go into hell maimed. Or it's better to go into heaven maimed than to go into hell whole. There's a devotional by this girl, lady, and one of her titles is, her name is Anna Lundgren Johnson, or Anna Johnson Lundgren. And one of the titles is the one-armed, one-eyed army of God, because they've plucked out that eye and they've plucked out the arm. But man, they are an army of God. So let's just pray, and then we'll get together and maybe take, a 3-minute break or something. Just at 20 after, let's try to just be back here. So it's only just a 3-minute break, and then we'll try to get into the meeting. Father, just thank you, Lord. I know these words are strong, Father, and they are searching. But Father, we just want to bow our knee to you. And Lord, I ask that your Spirit would have your way. Lord, I ask that you would have your way in my life. Lord, help me to be sensitive to your Spirit and obedient to your Spirit, to your leading. Lord, help me just to embrace you more and more. Father, help each of us just to go on, to be sensitive to what is on your heart, Lord, to appreciate the great story of redemption, Lord. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. Take us on, Lord. I thank you for each one here, Lord. We're just ordinary people like Peter and John and James, Lord, but you filled us with your Spirit, and we just thank you, Lord, and we do want to go on with you. Have your way with us, we pray. And may we, Lord, through your leading, Lord, may we reach souls in this community for you, Lord. May the lost be won, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.